Throughout the book, nowhere is there any attempt made to prove that there is this immortality in us. Nowhere. You are simply asked to accept it. And you are simply asked to accept it on the basis that the reason why people die is because they believe they die. And the reason why you don't die is because you believe you won't die. And it made me think of my youth. When I was young and physically strong, and the muscles were bulging in all directions, and I was fit as a fiddle, as they say, I thought I was immortal. I thought I would never die. Look at me. It's not possible to die. I feel so good. I feel on top of the world. Have you felt like this? Every athlete has felt it. You go out in the morning to do your training and you feel, you breathe the morning air. You're on top of the world. And of course, if you're on top of your sport as well, you feel marvelous. Just marvelous. I would never die. Problem is, as time went on and the back got to ache with age, and you got a pain here and a pain there, and suddenly you find you got to wear glasses of all things. When I had 20/20 perfect vision, and then one day you got to wear these miserable things on your face, and you say, what's going on? Those things seem to be in decline. Is the body like an engine that wears out, or does it not wear out, that it can forever regenerate itself? Of course, according to some, it may be possible to keep to regenerating the body. That might be fine. But in practice, does it work? Is the reason for my physical decline because I believe that I must die, and therefore I decline? Which comes first, the belief in death or death first? That's interesting. So, there I want to leave the matter for now, since our time is going. This exciting, interesting idea I leave with you. Until next Sunday, we can think about it still further. In the meantime, you have a whole week to realize that you are immortal. You see? Yeah. I hope that you're still around with us by next Sunday, and that I'm still around with you. Otherwise, this whole story falls apart before next Sunday. But there are three things I would like to summarize. First is the notion of immortality. Second, and this is very important, and this is where I do agree with them on the basis of Scripture, that this immortality is related to our interrelationship. It is the bad relationship with one another that poisons our whole system. I fully agree with that. Have you felt really angry with another person? Bitter, jealous, hatred? Have you felt that way? You know what it was doing to your whole system? You feel terrible. It eats you up inside. It literally kills you. Bad relationship literally kills you. Terrible to have. It turns life on earth into hell. And so the third thing that was said there is that we can establish heaven on earth. In a sense, that is true. In a sense, that is true. Let me say briefly what I mean by that. In Luke chapter 10, we don't need to turn to it now. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25 onwards, there is an important passage there which has its parallels in the other Gospels, where a lawyer asked the Lord Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And the Lord Jesus said, you should know what it is. It's there written in the law, being a lawyer. A lawyer is a specialist in the Old Testament law. And the man said then, yes, the law is fulfilled in two things, basically, or two aspects of one thing. You shall love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The Lord said, answered rightly, do this. And notice what it says, you shall live. Now the whole question in Luke 10:25 was, what must I do to gain eternal life? That is the question. And notice the Lord's reply. He didn't say, believe the right doctrines and you will have eternal life. He said, this do. Go out and do it. Do what? Love God with all your being and love your neighbor. It's yourself. You will have eternal life. Notice that the Lord related the question of eternal life to the relationship with one another. Paul condense this point even further, in case we missed the point, that the relationship between loving God and loving the neighbor is simply two sides of the one coin. They're not two different things, but two sides of the one coin. And that is, to love God with all one's heart is meaningless unless, in fact, it is put into practice in loving the neighbor. And that is why in Romans 13:9, when speaking about the central issue of the law, Paul does not even mention the first point about loving God with one's whole being, but merely say, love your neighbor. That is the fulfilling of the law. And in case we miss that point, he repeats the same thing in Galatians 5:14, in which he says, love is the fulfilling, loving the neighbor is the fulfilling of the whole law. Again, he doesn't even mention the first point about loving God with our whole being. Because we can easily say, yes, I love God, but I hate you. No, you can't say that. Not according to the Bible, you can't. If you love God, you love the person. If you hate the person, you don't love God. That's what John says in 1 John. He that says he loves God but hates his neighbor is a liar. The truth is not in him. That's why I said I like the connection. Immortality is connected to our relating to one another. And when we speak of love, what are we saying? We are saying that we are totally open to one another. I accept you no matter what you look like. You might be losing all your hair on top of your head. That just doesn't bother me. Or you have lots of too much hair on your head. That makes me jealous. That doesn't bother me either. You may be very fat. You may be very thin. You may be raw. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you look. Love unconditionally accepts the other person. No matter which way you look at that person. Now that is the important thing. The interrelationship with one another is rooted in immortality. And what about the third point? You can build heaven on earth. In fact, that's what we are called to do. Surprisingly. Why? How do I say this? Well, we are called to build the kingdom of God on earth, the kingdom of heaven. That is the reign of God on earth. That's what the Lord Jesus says in Luke 17, where he says, the kingdom of God is among you. Don't be looking around it from here, there, everywhere. The kingdom of God, Luke 17:21, is among you. And that is where it is. That is, we are to build it. We are to pray the prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, which means your will be done on earth. Isn't it our business to do his will on earth? And by doing his will on earth, we establish his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven on earth. If we could do this, the church would be a wonderful place. It will be a little piece of heaven on earth. It is your job and mine, if we are truly Christians, to establish a little bit of heaven on earth. We can make another person happy. We can make another person joyful, encourage a person. For that person, bring heaven to that person, even just for a few minutes. An act of kindness, a smile. How difficult it is for us to do that? And how much more permanent is that heaven if we could reconcile our differences, our squabbles, our unhappiness, unhappiness within, unhappiness without? We can bring heaven into our hearts. We can live it on earth. I once experienced something of a foretaste of heaven. I never forget that experience. I was in prayer that morning, and then somehow, suddenly, heaven came down. I can't describe that unusual experience. It was so unique that somehow I was aware of everything around me, and yet I was aware of heaven being around me as well. Very remarkable experience. You see, it's God's presence that makes heaven real. And yet, this experience lasted for about 2.5 to 3 hours. And because I had to go to an appointment that day at noontime, and I was walking out finally after about 2 hours to the place of appointment, even walking along the road, I sensed heaven
It's a
most remarkable experience. As though heaven was following me where I was going. It was just around me all the way. And this experience did not stop until I actually entered the house where that meeting was taking place. And then there was a remarkable power present, which resulted in one of the persons present coming to the Lord that very day, without really any effort on my part at all. So our task is indeed to bring this experience of heaven on earth. This is the remarkable thing. So let me summarize. Here in this passage in Luke chapter 10, there is the question about eternal life. What must I do to be immortal? The Lord Jesus says, you see it in the law. The law already told you. What is it? Love God, love your neighbor. Loving God is to be practiced in loving the neighbor. We open ourselves, we give ourselves totally to one another. And by that means comes the third step. We establish something of heaven on earth. That is a wonderful program that we have given to us to fulfill. That is what true Christianity is about. But this book was trying to produce an imitation of the same thing that is seen here in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 onwards. Because they wanted to cut God out. The book tells us that since we are immortal, we don't need God. And even more astonishing, he goes on to say, I am God. I am immortal. God is immortal. I am immortal. Therefore, I am God. I had to sort of blink my eyes to see that I was reading correctly. And those were the exact words that I'm quoting there. I am God. Written by that writer there. Astonishing, isn't it? Even though I am immortal, that doesn't make me God. Even if I live forever, I have that eternal life as a gift. But they want to get God out of the picture and want to form a society. Well, it's good that they want to be open to one another, but I don't see it's going to work, is it? And they have been around too short to prove that this is going to be workable. But we have in Scripture the same truth, but made possible by the power of the living God. Well, our time is gone, and we should have walked away, as we mentioned, 20 minutes ago. And so we will close here for today. The Lord willing, we'll continue again next week. Let's close in prayer.